All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We welcome those that are joining us and might have been just a minute or two behind. I'm thankful that you hung on and because, man, I was having so much fun, I just couldn't break away. All right. But we're going to have more fun now. Guess what? We're starting a new series today. I know. It seemed like a miracle, doesn't it? All right. And I'm just going to announce this one could last a little while. I don't think it shocks anybody, but I want to tell you, this is a part of my life. And the Lord showed me this. It made a big impact on my life. And I want to tell you, this message, this series will give you hope. And I want to tell you why, because there are a lot of Christians who have been convinced by the enemy that they can't do anything for God because of their weakness or because of their past or because of their failures. And I'm here to announce to you that that's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care what you've struggled with, where you've been, what's affected in your life. I don't care what all kind of weaknesses you got. God is almighty. And he can manifest his strength through your weaknesses. I want to tell you, it's very exciting. I'm going to just announce to you that when the Lord called me to the ministry, I was in high school. And as a matter of fact, I got to preach at the very church where this happened. I was sitting in a church, and I was sitting in the toward the back on this side over here. Matter of fact, when I preached at this church, I showed them where I sat when this happened. And the Lord spoke to me during that service, and it kind of came like this. The Lord called me and said, I want you to give your life to me. I want you to preach for me. I want you in the ministry. And I thought, no. Lord, that I just can't do that. And, I was such a mess. I mean, put a football helmet on me, and, man, I was king of the field, okay? I was good to go. But get me up in front of a class, and I had to say something, I would be such a mess. My mouth would get all dry, and my brain would freeze, and I would just suffer and struggle, and, you know, the girls would laugh, and, you know, the teacher would laugh, and, you know, it was just entertainment for people. And matter of fact, the school counselor made me start taking speech every year in high school. I was the repeat every year. And but I want to tell you, I was such a mess and had so much trouble. And I just told the Lord, I, you know, these people are going to, you know, those that know me are just going to laugh because, you know, I just can't do that. And this is what the Lord said to me. I want to tell you, it's so clear, like it happened yesterday. This is what he said. If I can create the heavens and the earth, and make everything work. He said, surely I can do something with you. Now, I want to tell you, when he said that, I said, okay. All right. And I want to tell you, my wife don't like me to say this, but it's really true. If I was the Lord, I wouldn't have chosen me. Because I know weakness. Let me make some announcement to you. Our weakness, this will give you some hope if you catch this. Our weakness does not hinder God. It's when we surrender. Your weakness will only hinder God if you don't surrender. And so it's very, very important. But when you surrender, he's able to take you and mold you and make you and use you even through your weakness. He wants to manifest his strength. God loves to manifest his strength. Now, I want to tell you something. In the very area, you say, in spite of my weakness. No, in the very area of. Okay, so you may not hear this too much anywhere else, but I'm telling you, that's true. In the very area of your weakness, the Lord will show forth his strength. And I want to tell you what happens. That way, people that know you or don't know you are able to look at you and say, that's not them. That's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says this, what I've done through this one, I can do through you. Now, I was preaching the summer after high school, just a couple months after graduating from high school, I was preaching at a teen camp. And man, there's hundreds of teens there. and I was the speaker that week, and so I was preaching in one of the services. I looked out, because this was away from where I grew up, but I looked out there, and there was my speech teacher from high school. Okay, I promise you, it's amazing. So after my sermon, and it was really a sweet time that week in the Lord, but after that sermon, she was waiting around to speak to me. And so I'm thinking to myself when I saw her, uh-oh. Okay, and she come up, and she was smiling, and she said, okay, you know, we got some things you still need to work on, you know. I said, yeah, I know. She said, you know, double negatives. I said, oh, I know, okay. But she said, but what I saw here tonight was a miracle. Because she saw Jesus. And not the one she tried to work with for years. She saw Jesus. And I'm announcing to you, even to this day, because I'm a pastor, sometimes there's been a couple political things or different social things that people want me to host and be the MC. And I just say, I'm not good at that. And they say, well, why not? Because it doesn't have to do with Jesus. I'm telling you, this is the only area I really flow in as if it is about Jesus. You put me in some other arena or some other way, and, you know, it's just I'm just not the best to be there. But I'm trying to tell you this, and I want you to capture this. God loves to manifest His strength in the very area of your weakness. Now, the problem is that there's a lot of Christians that will not do what the Lord's calling them to do because they consider that they can't. Well, when you surrender your can't to the Lord, He can through your can't. And so that's how powerful God is. And so God's unlimited. He's not troubled by your humanness. He's not troubled by your weakness. Now, there's another problem. There's Christians that try to live the life of Christ through their own strength. And they're the ones that are the most miserable. Because you cannot live the Christian life and you cannot minister through your own skills and your own strength. You say, well, God gave them to me. Well, I'm so thankful. But here's the deal. Your skills and your strengths will hinder God if you don't surrender your skills and strength. Okay, I'm going to get to that in a little bit, so just hold on to your seatbelt on that. But I'm here to tell you that the way to operate in the kingdom of God is to submit your weaknesses to God. Surrender your strengths to God. And let God show Himself mighty through you. All right? Okay, here we go. You ready for some word? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards. Not many influential. Not many powerful, not many of high and noble birth. In other words, he's saying, look around at your own background. I want to tell you, not many. He didn't say not any, but he said not many. All right, not many. Okay, you see, you got to see your calling. It's not many according to the flesh. But he didn't say not any. There are some. Thank God for those too. But they have to surrender too, right? Have you got that so far? Verse 27, this is one of the ways of God. Now I want to tell you, you want to know the ways of God. This has to do with wisdom. There are a lot of Christians that just want to see the works of God. They want to come to church and they want to operate the Christian life, kind of like people go to a sporting event. I just want to sit in the stands. I don't want to be involved. But I want to clap and I want to cheer and I want to see what God does. I want to see other people, Lord, use other people, but not me. That's the way a lot of people operate. Well, I'm here to tell you, the children of Israel made that mistake. They saw the works of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. God wants you to know His heart. He wants you to know His ways. That's wisdom. And I want to tell you, God has that for you. Not just for a few, He has it for you. And so we need to know, this is one of the ways of God. If you capture the heartbeat of this series, you're going to find yourself bold for the Lord in ways that you've been hesitant. You're going to find the Lord using you in spite of yourself. He'll be using you in ways that'll make you go, wow. Because it's Him. Because we're a vessel that lets Him be Himself. Ways of God. Are you ready? Verse 27. No, for God selected, He deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. And what the world calls weak, are you seeing this? What the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. Now, I'm going to say this a couple of times. And so you got to capture this. It's a wisdom key. You depend on Him. Let me give you a little announcement. That's a great definition of humility, is dependence on the Lord. We depend on Him. Lord, I'm depending on You. I'm trusting in You. I'm leaning on You. Depending on Him, that's humility. Not on yourself and not on man. You see, there's a lot of times that believers will pray and they'll think, you know, I think the Lord might use this person to help me, and He could just tell them to, you know, do this or do that and really help. No, no, if you're depending on man, you're going to get offended. If you're depending on yourself, you're going to be depressed. If you're depending on God, you're going to see a move of God. Okay, here we go. He chose the foolish to confound the wise. He chose the weak things to confound the mighty. That's a way of God. He's still operating that way. That's why you can say thank you. Here's a way of God. Are you ready? Study the ways of God. God also selected, He deliberately chose what in the world is lowborn and insignificant. And branded, boy, man, I could stop there. Okay, and branded and treated with contempt. How's your journey been? You're not disqualified. Jesus qualified you. Even the things that are nothing. He chose even the things that are considered nothing, that He might depose and bring to nothing the things that are. Man, are you seeing this? I'm telling you, I'm getting excited here. Y'all going to have to hold on. Okay, He used the base things, the despised things, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Wisdom key, I got to say it again, depend on Him. Humility, humble yourself and depend on Him, not on yourself and not on man. Here's the reason that God operates this way. Verse 29. So that no mortal man should have the pretense for glorying and boasting in the presence of God. God operates this way in His ways of choosing the naught to bring to naught the things that are. He chooses the people He chooses that the world wouldn't choose. Okay? In order that no man can say, look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. Look at my success. Look how good I am. No, no, no. It's not what I did or what I've done or what I've accomplished. It's what a great Father we have. Okay? It's what He did for me. And what He did for me, He'll do for you. And so the honor and the glory and the prestige needs to boast in the Lord. It's the Lord. That's why that we coach people. We have testimony just about every week here. And we've got a service coming up. It's a Sunday after Thanksgiving where it's just Testimony Sunday. And if you don't miss that one. I don't care how full of turkey you are. You come to that service. Because I want to tell you, it's a great Sunday where the saints, I mean, we have testimony service. It's one of the highlights of the year for me. But we coach people in testimonies. That, you know what, we give a little instruction that, you know what, hey, don't talk so much about the dark side. Don't talk about the pit. Your name of the pit might be different than other people's names, but a pit's a pit. And we're familiar with the pit. Hurry up and get to the good part. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus set you free? How did Jesus change you? That's the part we want to hear, because that's the part that we celebrate, and that's the part where the Holy Spirit says to others, I've done this in her life, I can do this in your life. Now that brings hope. That's celebration. That edifies us, and all the people said. So no flesh is to glory in his presence. Let's make sure that when the Lord does a work in your life, let's make sure that he gets all the honor and glory. If we make sure that the Lord gets all the honor and glory, I think heaven can trust us with more. Anybody interested in more? God's way is the lowly. Water seeks out the lowly, the low places. I want to tell you, that's what grace does. Boy, I've got a sermon coming up on that about grace, how that grace is attracted to the weakness. Grace is attracted to the low. I want to tell you, that's the way Jesus operated. You know, Jesus operated in humility. Okay? He wasn't born in the palace. He wasn't born with it all announced in neon all around the world. He was born in a cave. Okay? In a manger. And shepherds were the witness. And to a poor Mother Mary, Joseph. And God, even the name Nazareth, Jesus from Nazareth, where he grew up. Nazareth was one of the most despised places in the whole place of Israel. It was despised. And one of the reasons it was despised was because it was a stopping off part. It was a Bucky's, so to speak, of travel. I mean, people going either direction. It was kind of a crossroads, and people would stop there and camp out and spend the night. And so I wanted to, you say, well, what's the problem with that? Well, in that time in Israel, if you walked past a Jew in the marketplace as a Gentile, and you even accidentally brushed up against them, they would consider themselves unclean. A Gentile touched me. Unclean, and they'd have to go and do a ceremonial cleansing before they could even go into the temple. You understand? And so there was a view of that. And so with people from different parts of the world camping out in Nazareth, it was a despised town. It was considered, the Bucky's was kind of a trash collector, so to speak, from the Jewish mindset. And not only was it despised like that, and because all kind of characters stayed there, it was also despised, and it was actually joke material that can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was joke material. I could give some examples here in Texas, but somebody ain't going to laugh. But they were considered the country bumpkins of Israel. They even talked country. And people could tell by the country talk that they, oh, we know where you're from. You're from Nazareth, aren't you? Yeah, I am. Because they had country in their talk. But I want to tell you, this is what Jesus did for people, because he hung out with the lowly. He didn't hang out with the, come on. I want to tell you who he spent most of his time with is those that were downcast, those that were considered the worst of sinners. He even hung out with tax collectors. Can you believe it? And I want to tell you, so this is the way of the kingdom. All right? Jesus brought honor to the lowly. And so Philippians 2:5 says this, let this same attitude and purpose and mind of humility, humble mind, be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Jesus showed us how to operate on this earth. Okay, so let's identify with him and let's operate like him. Let him be your example. Let Jesus be your example in humility. Now, I shared this with our leadership this morning, but this is 1 Peter 5. Do we have that? All right, look at 1 Peter 5, and this is verse 5 and 6. I just got to go real quick. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Verse 6 says, clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, some of you, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. Do you understand that we have to have this clothing of humility? I call it the underwear of a believer. The first thing that needs to be put on every day and needs to stay on all day is humility. You say, well, brother, teach us about the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God. I am and I will, but under the armor of God, in order for everything in the kingdom to operate like it's supposed to, you put on the underwear of humility so that it don't come off, because we need it to operate. This is a way of the kingdom of God. Somebody capture this. With freedom from pride, there is no room for pride in the kingdom of God. No room for arrogance toward one another. Do you see that? All right, is there more? For God sets himself against the proud. But gives grace to the humble. I'm just going to say it like this, and I got to get back. It goes like this. Even God, because this is written to believers. This is written to believers. God himself will resist his own over pride. There's no room for it. I want to tell you, when that starts to stir up in you, that pride begins to rise up in you, then I want to tell you it's automatically not of God. And we need to practice humility before God so we can walk in humility before man. Somebody say amen. In due time, you humble yourself, because in due time, God will exalt you. Now, I want to tell you, when God exalts you, man knows it. Because it's something that man didn't do. And it's just like the Lord to reward and honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus identified himself to the despised. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say this, but even when demons were cast out, they were cast out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I love that, don't you? And so he brought honor to the lowly. That's what he does with us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. This explains that everything that we are and everything we got is because of Jesus. But it's from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus. It's because of him that we have life in Christ Jesus. It's not something you attained. It's something you obtained. Do you see the difference? We didn't earn it. We received it. Whom God made our wisdom from God. Even the very wisdom, the very revealing that we needed God, that came from God too. And people want to make sometime their testimony that I worked hard and I searched and I found God. No. Oh, come on. Okay. I know what you're saying, but let me tell you, God found you. Let me tell you something. He was seeking you. He was drawing you before you ever turned. Okay. All right. Go home, change your testimony. Okay. But he's our righteousness. He's our righteousness, not our works. Not our things to do list, not our don't list. He's our righteousness. That's making us upright and putting us in right standing with God. It's something Jesus did. And our consecration, how he develops us and changes us and completes us and consecrates us and changes us, that's because of Jesus too. And our redemption. He redeems everything that the enemy has stolen. He restores. He redeems whatever effect that sin has had on us. He can redeem us into the kingdom of God. He can add to whatever the enemy has stolen away. And so I'm announcing to you, well, you don't know what I've been through. No, I probably don't. But I do know this. The Lord can redeem everything the enemy has stolen in your life. The same price he paid for your everlasting life, he paid for your restoration life. He is the redeemer. Jesus is our wisdom, our righteousness, our redemption. He redeems us. Well, what about sickness? Well, that comes from sin. It may not be your sin. But I want to tell you, you can point back to Mr. Adam, the first Adam, and there was no sickness before Adam sinned. But after he sinned, sickness came. Poverty came. They weren't poor in the garden. They were rich. Oh, hallelujah. I love Jesus. So he redeems us. So whatever. I'm telling you, even the effects or side effects of sin in your life, no matter what you've been through. Some of you got some heartbreaking stories, and I do too. But I want to tell you, the Lord will heal even those side effects. That's greater levels of freedom, and that's for you. Well, our boast is in the Lord. Our weakness is His strength. Paul talked about that. So our glory is to be in the Lord. And sometimes in our nation, sometimes there's references, not as much as it used to be, but there's references to women being weak. And I want to tell you, women are not weak when they lean on the Lord. Women are not weak when they depend on the Lord. A lot of times, man can appear very strong in some ways. And I want to tell you, I see this even in ministry. And, you know, I don't name names and don't throw Bibles. I don't. But here it is, and I'm just going to tell you this. There are some people that I have known, rubbed elbows with, and have known in the ministry that seem to have all their stuff together. I mean, they're TV quality people. And, man, it just seemed like, man, they got it all. But I want to tell you, when I began to minister to those folk, I'm talking about big-timers, big shots that seem to have it all together. Some of them have the most horrible, disturbing secrets that they struggle with. You wouldn't know it from the outside because the outside of the book looks like a pretty cover. Looks like it's all good. But I want to tell you, on the inside, sometimes the inside of the cup needs healing and restoration and deliverance. And so I'm telling you, hey, some people's weaknesses are more obvious than others. But I'm telling you, everybody, every human you meet wears this stuff right here. Where's the flesh? And I want to tell you, it keeps us needing God. Even the most spiritual people you know, the godliest people you know, they still wear this. And this has been left here by God until we go to heaven, been left here so that we would depend on Him and lean on Him and never ever forget, I need God today. It's real similar to why God gave the children of Israel the promised land, but He said there's still giants there and you got to walk it out to receive your freedom. Bit by bit, step by step. I've got more on that later. So the more you depend on your strength, the more evident your weaknesses become. And so it's not a matter. Now listen, this is the way the world works. So this is opposite of the way of the kingdom. Believers are not to operate the way of the world. It's different. It's opposite. I don't want to tell you, Gideon's a good example. I preached on Gideon a couple months ago. But God chooses people we wouldn't choose. I'm so glad. That's why I'm here. People sometimes that God uses in mighty ways have obvious setbacks or handicaps. Or maybe they started off their journey with severe, tough challenges. And maybe mental limitations, maybe physical limitations, maybe great emotional struggles. But I'm announcing to you, God delights. Somebody say God delights. God delights in choosing the weak to confound the wise. He is our overcomer. He wants to be our story. He loves to be our source of strength. He's not disappointed when you say, Lord, help. He loves it when you cry out to Him. He's not distraught when, you know, He hears you cry out in your weakness. No, no, He delights. He delights. He delights in coming and meeting with you and showing forth His strength in the time of your weakness. He wants to be our story. Let your history be His story. That's what He wants. The problem sometimes with believers, because I'm not expecting the people of the world to act like a believer. I want to tell you, some of our criticism would fall off if we wouldn't expect unbelievers to act like believers. They don't know Jesus. You know, what gets me is people that claim to be believers that don't act like, oh yeah, there's room there. But here's the tendency. There's a tendency for beautiful people to lean on their physical beauty for favor. Oh, come on, I've seen this. You've probably seen it too. are those with lots of money to depend on their own supply. There's a tendency that those with beauty or those with brains or those with bucks to consider themselves better than others, better than those that have not. Hey, let me make this announcement and let it be crystal clear. You are where you are because of God and other people. I need to say it again. You are where you are because of God and other people. All of us have the same platform to give thanks to God for. People that know they have weaknesses tend to consider others better than themselves. And there's more of a humility approach. Now, don't let your lack disqualify you. And there's a way of recognizing or being conscious of your weakness to help you depend and lean on the Lord. That's okay. But if you listen to the enemy and look in the mirror and repeat what the enemy is saying, that you're disqualified, that God can't use you, you're no good, you're just not able, then I want to tell you, that's giving allegiance to a lie. Are you going to let the lie dominate your life, or are you going to let the truth dominate your life? Because when you give allegiance to the truth, the Lord will change you and transform your thinking. Is that, yes, I know I have weaknesses, but I want to tell you, the Lord is my strength. And He can do what I couldn't do in me and through me. Wow, that sounds like the Lord. So we're not to have a pride approach. And see, this is one of the things I had to learn because I came out of athletics. In athletics, they teach you and program that, you know what, you can whoop anybody. All right? And you compete and win no matter what happens. You come back a winner. And I want to tell you, I had to unlearn that in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, it's not a competition. We're on the same team. Okay? Hey, in the kingdom, I'm not competing against someone else. Okay? It's not being aggressive about someone else. It's being aggressive against the enemy. All right, do you understand that? And so there were some things I had to unlearn. There was a lot of things that the Lord taught me through the game of football that applied to the game of life, but there were some things I had to unlearn. And a big part of it is that you humble yourself. It's the humility approach. There's a difference between being humiliated and humbling yourself. I had someone tell me recently, well, I'm humble. I said, really? I said, well, when did this happen? He said, well, I've been humiliated. I said, no. There's a big difference between being humiliated. That means you got caught. Humbling yourself is not something that somebody does for you. As a matter of fact, this is something you must do yourself. You must humble yourself before God and man. I hope you understand the difference. I think he caught it. In the Lord, He became what we are so we can become what He is. Isn't that a beautiful description of the cross? And so that's why that you can bring to God your weakness, that tendency that so easily besets you. You can bring that to the Lord and lay it down at His feet. And He can give you, we call it the exchanged life, where He gives you His life versus your life. And I'm just going to tell you, Let me just say this. 1 John 4:17. I think I have that. Let me show you that right quick. This is the description of what love, how love affects us. And I just preached on that a couple weeks ago. But that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Love brings us into maturity. Love completes us. His love does. Because as He is, look at the end of the result of it, of a love life with the Lord. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, I want to tell you, that is a verse right there that has done me a heaven of a lot of good. As He is, so are we in this world. And so whatever the enemy says to you is a lie. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus depressed? Is Jesus discouraged? Is Jesus sick? Is Jesus poor? I'm just saying to you that He paid the price. He became what we are. I mean, He became poor on the cross that we might be rich in Him. He became sick on the cross, tortured, just absolutely tortured on the cross in such pain and agony so we can be healed. Our sins were poured out into him so that we could be free from sin. I want to tell you, oh, that's so much right there. That sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? Okay, listen. For example, the world celebrates brains. The kingdom, and believers have an advantage, because you can have a brain, but you depend on the Lord. Proverbs 16:1 says this, that the preparation of the heart or the mind belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue, the victory, comes from the Lord. And so, yes, you have a brain. Yes, it's okay to use it. Please do. Don't call it rain and take off running. I mean, use it. God gave it to you. But I want to tell you, even in your best of brains, you're to submit it to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what do you want? And so, you know, the world only has some brain. We get more than that. We believers get wisdom and discernment from God. The world celebrates money, but we have a provider. We have provision. Do you see the difference? I love them. Hey, the world celebrates physical beauty. Okay? Hey, listen, you may be a little more on the plain side. 99% of us are. As a matter of fact, this is a little problem with the generation that I'm dealing with. Because they're on the networks, and they're seeing the magic of video. And they're seeing the magic of perfect presentation, and they end up comparing themselves. My life's not like this. I don't look like this. I don't have that many friends. And so I want to tell you, it's based on lies. I'll never forget, just a few months ago, my wife and I were watching a concert on the TV from supposedly one of the best singers celebrated in all the world. And they would do some, show some of her singing. I think it was around Christmas time. They would show some of her singing, and then they'd interview her. And in the interview, she spilled out her guts and said, I'm such a mess, and my life is such a mess. And I said, see there. That's what it's like without Jesus. Now, with Jesus, your life can be a mess. Let's be honest. But by submitting and humbling ourselves before the Lord and receiving the ministry of the Lord, your mess becomes a message to show the world that he's real and that he's alive. Hallelujah to the Lord. That's how beautiful. But anyway, he's able to take the plane. Let me tell you what the Lord does with the plane. Because I probably need to touch on this a little bit. He gives us beauty, an inner beauty that comes from the inside out. It's called the favor of God. And I want to tell you, there's even a countenance. Your countenance can reflect his presence. And I want to tell you, that's better than makeup. Now, I'm not saying don't use makeup. Okay. No, I can't go there. Okay. Use it. But there's a greater beauty. Okay? And the heart makes such a beautiful reflection when you're in love with Jesus, makes a beautiful reflection of Jesus. And you look in the mirror and you can see Jesus in the mirror. And other people can see Jesus see Jesus when they see you. His word has a beauty treatment on you inside and out. And you can actually have, and I've seen this and see it, the glow of his glory on people makes you look good. A little lady, and it's Ivanya, baby, is who I'm talking about. I wanted you to know in case somebody asked. But little Ivanya is a precious friend of ours. She came into our house one morning. A couple months ago, and by the time she got there, about 9 o'clock, I'd been in the Word for 5 or 6 hours. I was full. I'm telling you, my heart was running over. I couldn't wait for somebody to show up. And I want to tell you, she come walking in, and I greeted her with enthusiasm, and she looked at me and she said, wait a minute, you look different. I said, okay. What is it? She said, no, something about your face. Do you have something on your face? I said, no. She said, well, it's kind of glowing. And I recognized what she was talking about. I told her, that's just Jesus. She said, wow. Now, I want to tell you, you know, that doesn't happen to me all the time. Should, probably, huh? But I want to tell you something. This is true. In the marketplace, on a regular basis, I'm not saying every time, but on a regular basis out there in the marketplace, people will come up to me and greet me like they know me, and they will pour out their heart to me. And it's happened so much that I expect it. As a matter of fact, I've learned to pray for it. Lord, I receive every divine appointment that you have for me today. And people will come up, and this almost all the time they'll say something like this: I don't know why I'm sharing this with you. And I'll say, I do. Keep going. Because I want to tell you, it's the attraction of his glory. It's the attraction of his presence. It's the attraction of his anointing. Now, I know I've had people in my life that will say, no, it's not. It's just your cute little baby face. No, it's not. I've covered it up with as much fur as I can. Okay, it ain't that. Okay, and it ain't the Santa effect. I've been accused of that too. Okay, I want to tell you, it's just Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's exciting, and this is way of the Lord. This is what he can do. Now, regarding leadership, let me say something about leadership, because I get questions sometimes. Seem like you have a lot of pastors. Well, I do, because I need a lot of help. The Lord knows, okay, that I need a lot of help, and he surrounds me with amazing people. It's happened everywhere I've been, everywhere I've gone. The Lord does that. But I want to tell you something. We have a lot of leadership because they're in training for the Lord to use as we multiply as a church. Because there's going to be Freedom Life Fort Worth. There's going to be Freedom Life Arlington. There's going to be Freedom Life to the north somewhere. Freedom Life to the west somewhere, to the east. Come on. And I want to tell you, see, we'll be able to send them out, not just by themselves, but we'll be able to send them out with a group, okay, of leadership already trained and developed, and send them out with a group of people that are already supporting, and they'll be able to start them out with some momentum. Somebody say amen. And so that's a part of what we're doing, part of what we do. But I look, when it comes to leadership, I'm not looking for the beautiful. Now, we have some. Maybe I need to say that twice. We have some. But I'm not looking for superior brains. We've got a number of them more superior than mine. That does not offend me. I'm not even intimidated by it. We got people with better abilities, super abilities. But see, the world looks for those. I don't. Some churches do. I'm looking for hearts because that's what God's looking for. I want to tell you, when your heart is submitted and surrendered to him, he can take you wherever you've been, wherever you're at, what you don't and don't have, and he can use you for the honor and glory of God. Some churches are looking for the beautiful, superior brains and super abilities. Well, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Bible says not many. It didn't say not any. So, you know, if you have them, let's use it for the Lord. But I want to tell you, there's a difference. And I shared this on international TV one night, and the host didn't like it. I'm just going to tell you what I said. I said, it's not about being a great singer. It's being a singer whose heart is in tune and flowing in the love of God. It's not about being the best speaker. It's about being someone whose heart's in tune and flowing in the love of God. And he didn't like it because he was a great singer. And the rest of the interview didn't go too well. But I'm here to say to you, there was a mega church that one of the staff had said, you know, the pastor really likes you. And I said, well, great. Well, they've talked about you preaching here. And I said, okay, great. And they said this, but they said it would be an exception because the pastor don't really like anybody over 30 on the stage. I said, really? And I'm thinking to myself, what scripture is that? I said, well, wait a minute. I said, he's way over 30. Yeah, but he's the only one that he wants on stage. He wants a young look. And I said, well, I probably don't qualify. Okay? But I'm just here to tell you, that has no place in the kingdom of God. I'm looking for the heart. God looks for the heart. He's looking for any heart that's turned toward him. And so I'm telling you today, turn your heart toward the Lord. Look, he's looking for faithful people because he's faithful. And when you are faithful, it means that you've matured. You know how to say yes to God in spite of what yourself is saying, or the weather is saying, or what your emotions are saying. You've learned to say yes to God on a regular basis. That's what it means to be faithful. You recognize that he's faithful, and so you're faithful because of him. He's looking for people that are available. Let's all say available. Now, what available means is willing to serve. I approached someone very recently because we have a need in our children's ministry. I approached someone recently and I said, hey, I think the Lord showed me that you could really help us out. I don't want to. I said, okay. He said, no, that's not my thing. And I said, well, I'm not talking about forever. I'm just talking, no, I don't want to mess with the kids. And I said, well, what are you doing? Nothing. I said, well, then you're not available. Because he's looking for faithful and available. Are you ready for the next one? Teachable. Teachable. I want to tell you, when somebody shows up at my camp and they know it all, I just say, God bless you. God bless you. Because I want to tell you something. I'm still a learner. And I want to tell you, you're a learner. But you got to have the mindset that you're still teachable and you're still a learner because the Lord's still teaching. The Lord's not through with anybody yet. And so I want to tell you, he's looking for fat people. Wait. Faithful, available, and teachable. All right, now you can say amen. All right, that's what God's, and he's looking for lifetime learners. And so I'm going to have to finish here because it says I've taken enough time. And so I'll pick up here next week. But let me kind of put this out there just to kind of sum it up. God uses the weak to confound the wise. You're not disqualified. Jesus qualifies you. What he's waiting on and what heaven's waiting on is a yes from you. Humble yourself before him. The world makes fun of the weak. You know that's true. We don't operate like the world. Okay, anybody in a church that looks down on their nose at somebody else is not operating in the love of God. Anybody that looks down at their nose for a different color, this is one of the reasons why I want us to be a church of color. Every color. I'm not saying, because I preach in churches that are all black and all white, Hispanic, and I really love preaching in the Eastern Indian churches, but I want to tell you something. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, probably a lot right with it, but I'm telling you what, we don't have to ring the bell that everybody else rings. We want to be who God wants us to be, and the Lord put it in my heart a long time ago that this church is to represent the universal church of Jesus Christ of every color, every creed, every nation. And so I want to tell you, we invite all to come. And I want to tell you, if we cannot worship through the love of Jesus and love one another through the love of Jesus, there's not anything wrong with God. It's something wrong with us. There's no room for any of that mess out there to be in church life or in the kingdom. Somebody say amen. And so, you know, the world makes fun of the weak, the disabled, the unattractive. I want to tell you that right, that makes holy indignation, righteous indignation rise up in me. Those with money feel superior. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes I get the opportunity to minister to wealthy people. And I want to tell you, they got the same problems that the poor have. And I want to announce something to you. All of their money doesn't fill their soul. Souls are empty, even without money. And I love what the great boxer Joe Louis said. He said, well, it don't make me happy, but it calms my nerves. Okay, that's Joe Louis. Okay, that wasn't Pastor Tim. That was Joe Louis. Okay, I love Joe Louis. Okay, here we go. But it's wrong to feel superior because you have a toy that somebody else doesn't have. Let me make an announcement. Money is a good tool, but it's a bad master. A person that knows God is our loving supply. Shows humility, knows that it all comes from him. It's due to his favor and due to his loving kindness. That's the love trail. And we got to stay on the love trail. And the love trail is a thanksgiving trail. The love trail is a humility trail. The love trail is a faithful, available, and teachable trail. Can somebody say amen? Let me pray for you. We'll pick up here next week. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your great, overwhelming love that, Lord, you love people that the world doesn't love. Thank you that you choose people the world wouldn't choose. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to take our strengths and weaknesses, and in submission to you, you're able to use it all for your honor and glory. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to your lordship afresh. We humble ourselves before you, and we confess that Jesus is Lord. And we submit our lives to you afresh. And, Lord, all that we are and all that we are not, we give to you. And we confess that we're yours and you're ours. And we walk in agreement with your word. Thank you for your love life. And we pray in the name of Jesus, your love life will so flow through us that it will cause us to glow in you. That our countenance will reflect your presence. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Let's give him a clap offering. Amen and amen.